Hello, everybody. Thank you that you're still listening to my podcast. Today, I had another episode with Dave Stereo. We already recorded one with him. I think it was the fifth or sixth episode we ever recorded about the original Final Fantasy VII speedrun. And today, we talked about the Final Fantasy VII remake. Final Fantasy VII got a remake a few weeks, months ago. I think at the end of March, it got released. But I'm not quite sure anymore. And yeah, we talked about that new speedrun, the brand new speedrun, how you get started in a brand new speedrun or in new games in general. That advice is also applicable to that. And we talked how the game flows, what's different from the original in its speedrun, and how it develops with all the new glitches or routes that get found every day, basically. Besides that, we also talked about why it's so exciting to watch a new speedrun develop over time, because so many crazy things are happening in this game, and it's very beautiful to look at. Now, please enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. My name is Flashpon77. Today, I have Dave Stereo once again with me. And yeah, how are you doing, Dave Stereo? What are we talking about today?
Hey, we are talking about the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm doing okay. You know, my sleep schedule has been absolute trash. I don't know how you've been holding up, but, we're doing okay out here.
For me, it's the same. Like, my sleep schedule, especially, is like going on a roller coaster every week. Like, during the regular weekdays, it's like I sleep every day later and later, and then on the weekend, I sleep earlier again. It's like kind of crazy. This whole Corona time is hitting us very hard. But yeah, let's talk about the official topic of this podcast, which is the Final Fantasy VII Remake. We have made an episode a few weeks, months ago. I don't remember, but it's like one of the early episodes of this podcast where we talked about the original Final Fantasy VII speedrun with Dave Stereo. And now the remake came out and, you know, every Final Fantasy fan, every Final Fantasy VII fan was really excited about it. So I was like, hey, let's invite this guy again because that game is like really beautiful. So let's talk about the game first. How excited were you for the game? How is the game itself?
Oh my God. Absolutely phenomenal. You know, people were kind of skeptical on, oh, hey, it's only like a fifth of the original story. How can they make a full game out of that? And in my opinion, I think they delivered on all fronts. You know, without spoiling anything, I am completely down with this rendition of Final Fantasy VII. And like from the mechanics, like honestly, from like a directing perspective, like just when voice lines are delivered, the camera angles, when music comes in, like the directing of the game is top notch.
Yeah.
And yeah, honestly, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I never played either of the games. Like, I never played the original one, really, and I never played the remake, but I watched my girlfriend playing the remake, and it was actually a lot of fun to just watch her and seeing what's going on and the voice acting and how the music plays in. It's really, really well made. So let's talk about the speedrun, because this is a speedrun podcast. I had episodes where we just talked about games. So what is like the biggest difference for the speedrun in like, if we compare the original one with the remake, since you just said it's like a 1/5 of the game, it only plays in the main capital of the game. I don't remember the name right now.
It's the opening city of Midgar.
Okay, yeah, Midgar was the name. So it only plays basically in Midgar. How does this play out for the speedrun? Is it any longer? Is it any shorter? Is it... How does it play out? And how is the feeling of the general speedrun?
So, like, believe it or not, the length of the remake, like, this part, is as long as the full run for the original Final Fantasy VII. And, honestly, it plays absolutely nothing like the original, like entirely different from fundamentally. You know, you had the original turn-based combat system,
yeah,
and now you have a more action-based system where you can pause time and queue actions. You kind of want to minimize doing that because speedrunning, you don't want to pause time. There's whole new weapon upgrading systems. I guess the only thing that's the same is the concept of materia, or how you would slot magic into characters. But even that, there's some new abilities, and honestly, it is a completely different game. Completely different. The original, there is encounter manipulation based on walking or running steps and having perfect movement. This one, your encounters are in the field, so there are instances where you can just like run past fights. There are some required, well, there's actually quite a bit of required fights.
Yeah.
but yeah, fundamentally a completely different game.
Okay, so just based on that, we already see, yeah, the speedrun plays out completely different. But how do you really say your speedrunning is then? Like, what are you doing differently compared to, for example, a casual playthrough to make the gameplay really fast? Are you using, I don't know, a lot of magic or a really overpowered weapon? Or, yeah, what are you doing? Like, because I don't think there's really a level grind for a casual playthrough even in that game. So what is the main difference between casual and speedruns?
Yeah, so a lot of it comes from optimizing boss phases, because, mm-hmm. you know, each boss fight has like three or four phases, and just knowing how to optimize each fight to push the next phase efficiently has been a really fun grind, actually. One thing is like the entire weapon upgrade system, where you would be spending time going into each weapon and seeing all the little abilities that you can grab on each weapon. Or I should say, each weapon has a unique ability that can be learned. And then within each weapon, there's a whole series of upgrade paths where you can like increase your strength, increase your magic, you know, some other passive abilities. And part of it is just knowing, how do I minimize time upgrading weapons, like knowing all that. And then also, you know, you brought up magic. So towards the beginning of the game, you know, you kind of have one character or two characters at most, and that kind of limits the amount of materia or magic that you can store on each character. And so what the beginning of the game sort of becomes is, how do I stack materia on like an individual character in order to level up my magic for when I need it? So for example, at the beginning of the run, you kind of fight a lot of you know, machine type monsters, or like all the human enemies are weak to fire. So like it becomes a thing of, I'll put two thunder materias on Cloud, because I know that by the time I get access to more party members, I'm probably going to want two leveled up thunder materia for all the machine monsters. Mm-hmm. So it really becomes, you know, equipment management and proper upgrading and leveling up of your character. Okay. And your magic abilities.
So it's more of a like, the community is more focused right now on figuring out the fastest or like the best damage output via equipping the party correctly, and then it comes also down to how you play out the fights. Probably like the run is very combat based. That's what you're trying to say here, and equipment based. What you level up when and how you get through that. So is there just like one core route, or this game is so new, you're probably still like just figuring out what the fastest is. So how has that progress have been so far? Like what have you come up with new ideas, or have there been any major change in the last few weeks? If you could tell us about that, you probably were in that progress involved. I can see you that because you streamed that game a lot when it came out.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, routes, you know, everybody's kind of doing different stuff right now.
Okay.
You know, there are certain things where it's like, oh, hey, this weapon is really good physical attack damage. And then, mm-hmm. oh, but this weapon over here is really good for magic. So it's like, do you want to focus on a magic build or a strength build? But, you know, you talk about like route changes and stuff. We have discovered a couple major skips in the game. And think about the major skips is, you might skip the ability to get a certain weapon at a certain mm-hmm. time, which, you know, completely changes your route. Or, oh, we don't get boss fights or all these fights, so my money is completely different. So that's a whole thing in itself, would be like experience routing, money routing, and then also like I said, each weapon has a unique ability that you can learn, and once you've used that ability enough times, you permanently learn that ability on the character. So it's like, okay, I get this weapon at this time, and I need to use this ability this many times so that I have it permanently learned, because I want to equip this other weapon, but I still want to use the ability from the other weapon, but like this weapon is really good for magic, but I need this ability. You know, it's like, it's a whole, like so many things that you're juggling in your head.
Yeah.
Routes are constantly changing, and it's just really exciting just to be able to, it's like the Wild West of FF7 Remix speedruns right now.
Yeah, I can see that. Probably like everybody who wants to get into those speedruns is just trying to do their own thing, see maybe what someone else is doing to get an idea. But that's like the cool thing, I think, we can talk about today, that like most speedruns are like so fleshed out that you have like one clear path you want to go and you want to achieve to go at some point, like improving your skill enough to be that good to play that route out. But I think in FF7 right now, when I just look at the leaderboard, the times are so different. It's like, is that just a route difference? Is it a skill difference? It can't be really a skill difference. So just people are playing out and figuring out that many new ideas. It's like really cool. So what would you tell, like, if there's anybody out there who listens to this right now and thinks like, hey, I want to speedrun a 10-hour game. I think it's around 10 hours for a new run. What's like really a cool thing about the speedruns to just get them hooked into as of right now?
But like, what's the way they could like easily learn or kind of like get some
What would be a good reason to just start the speedrun and then you can, like, for example, good things they should learn, good things they could focus on.
Yeah, so like honestly, I mean, if you're interested in running the Final Fantasy VII Remake, you're probably at least a little bit interested in the Final Fantasy VII franchise or just Final Fantasy in general. And the game is just a pleasure to be in. You know, the soundtrack, like I don't know about you, but like a requirement for a speedrun is like the game has to have amazing music,
yeah,
because you're gonna be playing it forever. And honestly, it's a spectacle, man. Like, every single boss phase is just over-the-top, flashy, and the soundtrack's just banging. Combat system is so electric. Like, just like, the core gameplay of it, and just, like, you know, like I said, the music, the visuals, like, it's very easy to get sucked into it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
beginning.
It's true, yeah. It's a really beautiful game. So when we look at the game, it's like so new. How do you even like learn this game? Like, how did you learn this game, for example? How should anybody else learn this game? Do they just sit down and play it over and over to get a faster time, which, you know, can seem very time inefficient if we look at how long a run takes. So what would you just tell your story of how you learned the game?
Yeah, so, you know, kind of starting off, like, I knew I was going to speed run the game.
But yeah.
I sort of wanted to have, like, my own initial experience with it. You know, I didn't want to, because it's like, man, the cutscenes are amazing. I didn't want to, like, skip the cutscenes at first. So what I did was I did, like, three solid playthroughs top to bottom of exploring, like, every single inch, trying to remember what, like, you know, where I get certain items and whatnot, and just like the general cadence of the game, and also just to kind of develop my own skills with the combat system, because you know, the run is like mostly fighting, so you better be good at the combat. And then after I had my casual playthroughs, I sort of went through, and I didn't like develop route notes, but I went through and recorded like the contents of every chest, every single quest reward, also like the weaknesses of every enemy, how much experience every enemy had, how much money every enemy had when you killed it in each area, just to kind of have like things to reference for when I was going to build a route. And then I sort of just took it from there. And you know, the cool thing about the FF7 Remake is you know It's divided into chapters. So
yeah,
you can kind of divide up your practice where it's like, okay, I'm going to focus just the first three chapters and then do that and then practice that, get it down, get super familiar with, you know, all of your boss strats and your menus and whatnot. And then you take the next section. So it's like, you know, even if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily have time to grind out a full run, you know, just playing the game in chunks and in the chapter sections is It's really nice. And then when you got time, you can grind out the full run. And like you said, it's kind of inefficient with your time to just like throw yourself at a giant run like that and then expect that you're going to have like these huge improvements. I mean, of course, your first couple of runs, you'll get big chunks of PBs. But like, if you really want to improve, you really need to focus the subsections. And
So can you like, because I didn't know that, can you select like each individual chapter from like the title screen or from your save menu, or how does that work? Because it's like only on console, so I don't know that there are probably no save states or any kind of that, obviously.
Yeah, correct. And there's actually a limited amount of save slots, so I have had to make an additional PlayStation profile to you know, store more save slots. But so like a chapter selection does open up, but that's kind of once you've beaten the game and you can't take a new file into those chapters. Like, it's pretty much like a new game plus within the chapter selection. So, but you can always save at the start of chapters. So it's like, I pretty much have just built saves for the start of every chapters based on my route. It kind of sucks because it's like when you define a new route or have new menus or new equipment, you kind of need to redo all your saves. But yeah, you're gonna want to just make saves at the beginning of every chapter.
I see. Yeah, so probably learning and playing this game needs a lot of dedication. I already saw, because you just explained how much like dedication you put into just getting the knowledge down, which is like really awesome. I think that's like one of the most awesome things in the speedrun community, that there are people who are just dedicated to write everything down and figure everything out, and just a lot of numbers and knowledge putting down. So that's really cool. You probably have that like all online now in the community. Like everybody has access to those like numbers of experience and weaknesses, and everybody can access those. Am I right?
I do feel like there are wikis. My own personal notes, honestly, are very shorthand.
Okay.
You know, like kind of like abbreviated for me. I have like, I mean, I could share those. I just haven't like done that right now.
Okay.
But there is within the own person or the Final Fantasy VII Remake speedrunning Discord. There's like a whole channel dedicated to like, here's all the known tech. You know, like here's like all the possible, even if they don't have application in the speedrun, but they might later. There's literally like they've been tracking like every single glitch that's been found, every skip, and you know, people are constantly exchanging strats within the Discord.
Yeah, so. I love to see those things because, you know, speedrunning is always about like getting the knowledge down, and so many speedruns we have nowadays have like so many glitches, but you never see them in an actual run because we have like 10 others that are better than those glitches. And that's like the cool thing. I love to see speedruns getting, you know, completely new speedruns getting taken by the community, and then they're like, you know, getting fleshed out to an actual speedrun. It's like really cool, and I love this progress, and I hope one day I will see a game and find a game that's like completely new and I can be a part of, because I think that progress alone is like can be very fun and can be very enjoying to just, it's cool to learn a speedrun people already know a lot about, but it's also cool to learn a speedrun nobody knows anything about. So yeah, that's cool. I would love to be in the FF7 community, but I haven't played that game, or I neither have the console.
Like, you know, if I were to go back to, you know, even like Mario Odyssey or Breath of the Wild, like those routes were changing every single hour. And you know, and with FF7, you know, after I hop off a run, I'll pop in a stream of somebody who's running the remake, and then I'll pick up a boss. Like, I'll see the way they do a boss, and I'm like, wow, that phase was really fast. What exactly did they do? Because, you know, there's the whole mechanic in FF7, or in the remake, where it's like, okay, if you exploit, like, a weakness within the enemy, you're building something called a pressure gauge. And when it actually says pressured, you have the ability to influence this gauge even more based on certain conditions. And if you maximize this gauge all the way, you will stagger the enemy, which makes it so it gets stunned and it'll like stop attacking you. And then you do plus 160, or it changes the damage output to 160%.
Mm-hmm.
And Then there's also other character abilities that you can use that will increase this percentage past 160. So it's like there's so much mechanics and like so much room for variance within the, like, everybody fights differently in this game and tries to optimize the fights and approach everything differently. So it's been a really cool process of like, okay, I'll finish a run and then I see how somebody does a boss. And yeah, you know, you can definitely pick up a lot from other people.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing things differently.
That's so cool when like people are doing different routes. For example, in the early days of Celeste, I was also like, most runners have like, there's no runner who has exact same strats as someone else runner, because there are so many strats, you can play the rooms differently. And I love to see that in other speedruns, because, you know, speedruns are more interesting to watch or to enjoy together if people have different strats and they work out differently, but still average around the same time. It's like really cool progress. So you just talked about the combat, and the combat is really complex. And once I saw you at the like GDQ show, I saw you stacked a lot of magic, and or like a fight begins and you just go into the magic menu. I think it's the magic menu, and then you do like a spell a few times, and then like a lot of damage is happening all of a sudden. How is the combat working in general, and how is like, I mean, you talked already a lot about it, but how is like the general combat against normal enemies going and against bosses, so we can like put this point into we can put out this point completely.
Yeah. So like for example, if there's like a sort of like mini boss machine monster, you pretty much know that like, okay, if I attack this guy with thunder, that will start the pressure gauge. It will initiate a pressure state. And when you're in a pressured state, there are moves labeled like focus. Like there, Cloud has focus thrust, Barret has focus shot, and Tifa has focus strike. And you do have to learn these from certain weapons, but those influence the pressure gauge way more than other, like, other moves, but they have to be in the pressured state. Like, these moves themselves don't initiate the pressured state, but once the pressured state has been established, that will make the gauge fill up so much so you can stagger more efficiently. There's also a materia called Magnify. And pretty much, if you cast like a fire spell on one enemy and you have fire equipped with Magnify, it will make it so that fire will spread to other enemies there. So it's like, say you're approaching an area where, okay, I know there's like waves and waves of human enemies and there's like a ton of them. That's when it's like, okay, you can magnify there and, you know, get all of them. And a lot of times when you cast fire on human enemies, it'll actually like knock them down. And then from there, you would switch to, like, Cloud, because his sword strikes, it actually has, like, a kind of spread where, like, you can be juggling, like, three enemies at once with sword slashes. So it's like, okay, bunch them all up, magnify fire to knock them all down, and then just, like, go crazy with Cloud's sword. I should say Cloud has two sort of modes with his sword. There's Operator mode and Punisher mode. Operator mode, you kind of have normal movement speed, and your attacks make you fly into enemies, but they don't do as much damage. And then the Punisher mode, you move incredibly slow, but everything you do does so much damage. And if you're blocking in Punisher mode, it will initiate a counterattack, which that counterattack in itself, depending on which move you do it on, or which receiving move you're getting, can actually initiate a pressure stage in itself. So it's like, you do Punisher block in order to counterattack, and then you would do a focus thrust because they're pressured, and then that increases the stagger gauge. And it's just knowing how each enemy operates, how to initiate stagger quickly if you need to, like, stagger. Like, a lot of human enemies, you don't even need to stagger them to kill them fast. But, like, yeah, it's just really knowing how each enemy operates and how to efficiently, you know, kill them, pretty
much. Yeah, I guess most of the fights are very, like, you have to fight them out individually because every fight plays out differently. And there's probably RNG in how the enemies move and where they, like, eventually spawn or where they are in the fighting scene. So it's not like one flat idea of, okay, in this fight I have to do this, this, and this, like how it was in the original game for the most part. You have to see, oh, my enemies are over there, so I can like maybe stagger them over there and then punch them all in one. It's like, I can see the combat being very dynamic, I think is a good word to describe it.
Yeah, cool. Especially with it being an active system, like, you know, enemies running around. It's like, okay, well, what if that dude runs over there? There are ways that you can kind of, like, pool enemies together, like, in the same way. But, you know, with it being an active combat system, you definitely need to be on top of things for when things don't go your way.
So. Yeah, I think that makes it, like, actually, I can see it being like then a very interesting speedrun because, you know, you it's like very long, but it's like a cool journey you can adventure through every time now and then. It's like not, it's not like older RPG speedruns where it's like one route I have to follow through and I have to rely on this and that RNG. Even though you told me that RPG speedruns are a lot crazier than that, it's like, you know, it can be boring for some. And I think that the remake opens up the door for many. Like it sounds very dynamic, very action-paced. It's like, if you have a Saturday where you have time for a speedrun or a weekend, then just sit down and do your 10-hour run. I think that can be something really refreshing for some people, even though they're not that serious in Final Fantasy VII speedruns, but it's just something cool to do as a side project even. I can see myself doing that actually, if I would have the game.
Yeah, and it's like, there's no doubt that like the sort of like action combat system is a little bit more mainstream than turn-based combat nowadays. Yeah. So I guess it's just easier for the general public to get into. Also the run, while it does have its downtime periods, it is like pretty actively engaging full through. You know, actually not very many opportunities for restroom breaks across the entire thing. There's like two or three. They are spaced pretty well though. I will say that like in the run, the restroom breaks are actually, pretty well spaced, but yeah, you know, like I could definitely see people getting into it more easily than like the original FF7, for example.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to worry about like I'd recommend that people don't necessarily learn the step manipulation for the original FF7 out the gate, but you know, you don't have to deal with crazy systems like that at least in the remake. So
true. Also, because Jesse mentioned the downtimes, how is like. You can you skip the cutscenes or don't you skip them? And how are like mini games played out? Because I saw some mini games when I watched my girlfriend, but I'm not well aware of that. Like, is it a fun part of the game? Can it be frustrating? Is like weird? Is it random? I don't know. You can tell.
Yeah. So cutscenes, most of them are, I should say, like all cutscenes are skippable. There are still like kind of sections where. Like, oh, you're walking through towns or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are still kind of like downtime sections where it's not like, oh, I'm fighting a bunch of stuff. But, you know, those are pretty minimal in comparison to like all the combat. Mini games? Man, you know, you approach that nice dartboard. There's a nice darts mini game. And, like, it makes you go to the dartboard. But you can just quit out of it. Like, you don't even have to, like, play it or, like, efficiently. Kind of makes me sad. There's a cool, there's a nice, like, dancing section that is.
Yeah, I saw that.
I will say, like, you don't have to do anything in the run. Like, that's a bathroom break spot, unfortunately. Like, the mini game is a bathroom break. There are some sort of like forced mini games. One of which actually could eat a lot of time. It's a I don't know if you saw the pumping mini game in the sewers, but yeah, that one can be kind of punishing if you miss it a couple times. Trying to think, you know, mini games are pretty light in the run. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, I think. We got a lot of things covered. I love to talk about this, but we haven't really talked about the big thing here, and that's like glitch hunting. And I think you posted a clip where it was like out of bounds with a lot of bright lights going on, and I was like, Hell yeah! Why wasn't I expecting that? It was kind of obvious that a game like the remake is getting broken to a part of this. Like, I think every modern 3D game can be broken to this point. So how does it happen to be that FF7 can be out of bounds, and how does it affect the run? We talked lightly about it in the earlier parts, but I would love to make this the last final part of this video or of this recording.
Yeah, and this is actually pretty cool to explain because, you know, the way Final Fantasy VII Remake pulls you into cutscenes, it needs the player-controlled character to hit the spot that gives mm-hmm. you the cutscene. Well, you know, awesome people in the community have figured out, or it's actually a series of glitches. The first thing that was found is you could enter what's called an endless fleeing state, where the game just always thinks you're in combat, like trying to run away from an encounter, mm-hmm. but it never actually fully takes you out of a fighting mode. Thus, you have the ability to use your combat abilities where you're not supposed to. And where this is important is, I mentioned the focus thrust ability that Cloud has, and pretty much he gets down and then he just shoots forward. Mm. And this is kind of important because if you can initiate this endless fleeing state, you use focus thrust right before a cutscene trigger. And so you focus thrust, and then while the animation's happening, you swap to the other character that isn't Cloud, and he passes over that cutscene spot, and then you switch back to him, and suddenly the cutscene doesn't pull you in, which doesn't set flags to, like, lock you into the next area. So you can kind of, like, there's a whole, like, chapter that we skipped through that. And because you're like, entering areas that you're not supposed to, the game has such a hard time catching up. It's like, wait, how are you actually here right now? And that's where you see, like, everything despawns. The lighting is just absolutely insane. And, yeah, so it was based on finding the, like, endless fleeing state glitch and then, you know, figuring out what skips from there. I'm sure other things will actually be found.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure that other things will be found with this concept.
Another, like, major breakthrough that's happened is, it's called, like, you can bypass what are called warning zones. And FF7 Remake likes to do this thing to keep you on track where it's like, hey, you're kind of not supposed to be going right here. Like, can you please just follow the path? And it mm-hmm. says warning, and it makes Cloud turn around and start walking away. The community has found out how to carry a sort of acceleration into these warning zones. Because, like, it kind of, like, halts your movement and makes Cloud turn around. But, like, if you find out how to do this sort of, like, movement acceleration into the warning zone, you go just far enough that it still makes Cloud turn around and kind of walk backwards, but he never walks far enough backwards to the point where, like, it completely kicks you out of, like,
mm-hmm.
like the sort of, like, trigger zone. Thus, you can just run through it, like, and bypass the warning zones. And this allows us to completely skip Chapter 14. And part of Chapter 13 as well. Which this application can, or it might be able to be done elsewhere. A lot of these have been explored, and most of them soft lock the game actually. But there have been a couple where it's like, oh no, wait, we can actually progress the story here, and it doesn't break everything. I don't doubt the fact that more things will continue to be.
Yeah,
found.
I'm pretty sure this game will be kind of glitched at some point.
Yeah, oh, it already... And actually, one thing that I haven't even touched on, and this is theory crafting. On, like, the first day that the remake came out, there were a couple, like, clips on Twitter of people kind of being knocked out of bounds within fights. Like for example, if flying enemies... If you try to attack a flying enemy, your character jumps up and is, like, you know, jumps up and meets the character in air. I've seen people get hit while being up in the air, and then they kind of get knocked out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you, like, it's been proven that you can get knocked out of bounds in fights. So can we sequence break?
Yeah.
Nothing's been like consistent for a run or even like, or you know, so it's like there is still plenty of things to be discovered. Like,
true.
It just has to happen. Yeah.
I think like over the next, you can say like over the next years, even over the next months, probably very dedicated people will jump onto these things and figure out new things. And the game will probably be in a few years a lot different from it is today. Like, I can totally see that being a thing. It's like every speedrun, they change so drastically. We don't know yet. We just have to wait and see. I will try to catch up on that when I watch FF7 speedruns, because like the cutscene skip thing sounds actually very interesting, and also this like warning zone, how you call the warning zone, is also like
warning zone bypass. Yeah,
yeah. I saw that when my girlfriend played. Like she walked in a completely wrong direction, and the game's like telling you, no, don't go this way, Cloud, and then Cloud just returns. I can see that being a lot of fun. Like experimenting with this, and I think that's like the entire thing we should like think about these new games. It's like every new game that has like, and I think FF7 remake has like the fortune that there's already a community for that game. There were already so many people who want to play that game and to want to speedrun that game. So if there's a new game, a completely new game nobody has ever touched, and you want to speedrun it, just experiment a lot with it. I think experimenting, route crafting, glitch hunting is like the most fun part of speedrunning. Personally, I'm sad that I never went that much into glitch hunting, but it's like, it's so fun. It's like its own magic or its own like science, you can tell.
Yeah, because it's fun to draw outside the lines, you know? That's,
yeah.
Kind of why we do the whole speedrunning.
Yeah,
thing, so.
Speedrunning is like, speedrunning got to a point where it's not just playing the game fast, it's like breaking the game so we can play faster than the game actually wants us to play. It's like, that's what speedrunning is. If you have anything else to add, then add it now. And if not, I think we talked a lot of, oh god, I can't speak today. We talked about a lot of cool stuff today.
Yeah, like, honestly, I'd recommend that, like, hey, if you want to get into the Final Fantasy VII Remake speedrun, all you got to do is go to speedrun.com/FF7R, and there's like a nice little thing that says Discord. You can pop in there and then get an invite to the Discord server. You know, people talking strats every single day. You guys can get up to date with everything that's going on. You know, feel free to reference some of the runs that are already on the boards for some strategies or just seeing what kind of equipment people are using. I think that'd be a really good place to start. And, you know, just, I appreciate you having me on the show for a second time.
No problem, man. I appreciate you being willing to be here, man. It's like, it's always, it's sometimes hard to find the right people to talk about certain topics. So it's cool to have you here. I think that's about it. Thank you for listening, you all. Thank you, Dave Sterry, for being here today again. And it was a pleasure to talk with you. See you all in the next week's episode. Bye.
Peace out, guys.
Yo, hope you enjoyed this episode, especially the end where he explained all the glitches was really beautiful to listen to. In this episode, I realized once again how crazy, cool, and beautiful speedrunning is, and why I love to speedrun and, you know, learn more about different speedruns and its history. It's like so fascinating what the community is doing with every game. It's just cool. I hope you found it in a similar way fascinating or inspiring, and I hope you're also more motivated to speedrun again. I will just speedrun now again, because of this recording I got hooked again with speedrunning in general, and I hope I had a similar impact on you. That's the entire goal of this podcast to some part. And yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. I tried my best to get one out next week, as always. See you, and stay cool.